Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do you know in the beginning of John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word is very closely related to God. It is God, it says. When God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't do it with his hands, he did it with his voice. He spoke it into being. The power was in his voice. When he spoke, things happened. It's interesting then that one of the big statements that Jesus made was, "He who have ears to hear, let him hear." Now, short of us being deaf, how do we understand that? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Seven times in the book of Revelation, when he spoke to the churches, after he would say something, he would say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So, we might have ears that are not deaf, but that doesn't mean we actually hear. Are we listening to him? Because he's always speaking. Because he is the Word. God is always speaking. Don't come to me and say, "God doesn't speak to me," because I won't agree with you. Because he is the Word and he speaks. We just need to listen. That's the problem. We don't actually listen. We don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. And verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know this verse, right? "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." So Jesus is knocking. He's knocking. But do we open the door from the knocking? Sometimes we can read that verse and say, someone knocks at the door, you open the door because of the knocking. It doesn't say that. It says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door." So you won't actually open the door unless you hear his voice. Did you get that? I don't understand why he knocks if it's his voice that causes us to open the door. God made us with two ears and one mouth. That probably means that we should listen twice as much as we speak. And that's a challenge to some people, right? Your mouth can be closed, but you can't close your ears. Your ears are always open. You're always hearing things. But you can close your ears, can't you? You cannot want to listen. I know many times Tracy has spoken to me and I haven't listened. I'm sure I've spoken to her and she hasn't listened as well. I'm sure it's not a one-way street, right? But we get the point, don't we? We understand that sometimes God can speak and we don't want to listen. We have two ears and one mouth. Let's listen. Now, I've got to say at the beginning that you can only really hear God if you've been enabled to hear him. See, it says, no one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. So there is an enabling that God gives us. Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." When he knocks and we answer, open the door, it's about all people. I believe that we need to be enabled to hear his voice, but the reality is we have all been enabled to do that. I don't believe there is anyone on earth who is not able to hear him, that God has not enabled, because the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, which means the whole world has the ability to hear. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, right? So ultimately, there are no excuses with God speaking and us listening. There are no excuses. See, and the reason I can say that boldly as well is that the foundation of God's throne is justice and righteousness. He will do the right thing and he is just. He will not be unfair and say, okay, I'll speak to him, but I won't speak to her. No, no, no. God speaks to everybody. God enables us to listen. It's whether we actually hear that's the issue. Now, in the scriptures, not everyone hears. And ultimately, not everyone chooses to hear, really. Have you ever seen that when people go, la, 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 not listening? We know that, right? Sometimes we don't want to listen. Turn with me to John chapter 8. And Jesus was having a discussion with Pharisees. And the Pharisees were disputing with him what he was saying. Things that he was saying, they had a dispute with him over it. And the discussion goes on, John chapter 8. But then Jesus makes this statement that's very interesting. Verse 43. It says, why do you not understand my speech? And it says, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. But because there is no truth in him, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when we listen to the devil, we become unable to listen to the word, to listen to God. And Jesus points this out to them. Why aren't you able to hear me? Because you're not able to listen to what I actually say. There's a scripture in... I might be getting ahead of myself. I'll say it anyway. There's a scripture in Zechariah chapter 7 that says, and God speaking, God saying this, if you don't listen when I speak, then I won't listen when you speak. Zechariah 7:13. If you don't listen when he speaks, he won't listen when you speak. That's very sobering, isn't it? Especially when we want to hear from God and we want to talk to God. Think about Pilate. Pilate made that famous statement, what is truth? Didn't he? But who did he say it to? He said it to Jesus. Jesus, the embodiment of truth, standing in front of him, and he said, what is truth? He didn't recognize the very truth that was standing in front of him. And when Jesus healed the demoniac in the Gadarenes, you know, he went on the boat, came to shore, he was in the wilderness, there was this guy who was mental, you know, he had issues, serious demonic issues. Jesus comes, delivers him, sends the demonic spirits into the 2,000 pigs. The 2,000 pigs run down the bank into the river. They all drown. The townsfolk come out with fear and say, ask him to leave. With great fear, it says, exceedingly great fear, they ask him to leave. Now, let me ask a question. Was Jesus someone to be afraid of? If you think about the scriptures. No. So what were they fearful of? They asked him to leave because they were afraid. And we know the Bible says in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. Jesus is the embodiment of perfect love. He's perfect love walking in front of them. And they were gripped with fear and asked him to leave. Why? Because they weren't looking at him, they were looking at the circumstances. They were looking at the guy that was should have been a mental case who wasn't anymore, and they were looking at 2,000 pigs floating in the river, in the ocean, in the lake, in the bitter water. In the water, right? They weren't able to listen. They weren't able to see with their eyes. They weren't able to listen to what he said. They were gripped with fear. And where does fear come from? Fear comes from the enemy. That's why we must never be fearful of anything. Turn with me to John chapter 10, over a couple of pages. Now we're talking about spiritual hearing, hearing God's voice, right? How do we hear God's voice? John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. They know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So Jesus is showing a picture of a shepherd leading his sheep. The sheep understand when the shepherd speaks, and the sheep follow the shepherd. Now in Australia we have trouble with that because we're not really shepherds, we're really stockmen. And stockmen or herdsmen, if you like, stockmen, they have a farm with a fence. They open the gate at one end and they go around and they drive the sheep in through the fence, through the gate. They get behind the sheep and push the sheep, force the sheep, if you like, into the pen. Whereas Jesus, as the shepherd, says, they listen to my voice and they follow me. And this is what Jesus is saying, that he knows us by name and we are to follow him. It says down in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. So he's a couple of things in this illustration. He's the door through which we go. And further down in verse 14 it says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I'm known by my own. Now, sheep are basically dumb, right? They're basically dumb, right? And you are sheep. So how to offend all the people that you're talking to? Tell them all they're dumb. We are sheep. We are meant to follow the shepherd. You know why it says fix your eyes on Jesus? Because when we follow the shepherd leads us into good pasture. When we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus, we're looking to the side and we see green pasture. And we go, that green pasture looks better than the backside of the sheep that's in front of me. So I'm off, going to go and... But we don't realise that that green pasture is like synthetic grass. It looks good, but it has no nutritional value. we're to listen to him. You see, sheep are meant to follow. They're helpless. They're not able to do anything without the shepherd guiding them. When we look aside and we get deceived and we get led astray, we end up going with another spirit or another direction, and we get driven like a herdsman away. And he drives us away with fear. The bad guy drives us away with fear. Because a herdsman, when he pushes a sheep through the gate, and I've done this a little bit. My mum has a cousin in Western Australia, and I went and worked there for a little while because I really liked sheep farming. I would be a farmer now if it wasn't for Tracy. A point in my life, it's actually her fault, right? There was a point in my life where I had to make a decision. Do I want Tracy or do I want to be a farmer? And I made that choice. I would have gone down the farming route. You can ask my mum. She knew. I did wool classing when I was a kid. I was into all of these things. I became a fitter and turner because my dad said, well, if you're going to have a farm, you need to fix the machinery. Why don't you go and do a trade? And that's how I became a fitter and turner. Pure logic. And it turned out that I was mechanically, I had good mechanical aptitude, so that was a good thing. But anyway, to get back onto the story. The sheep, working with this, John, his name was, we would drive the sheep through from the back and the dog would go around and bark. Now, what does the dog do to direct the sheep? He uses fear. The sheep don't want to be bitten. The sheep don't want to be eaten. So he runs around and goes, woof, and runs around here and goes, woof, and the sheep run away from the woofing, right? Or the dog. They use fear to drive the sheep. The enemy uses fear to drive the sheep away from the one we're meant to be fixing our eyes on, the one we're meant to be looking to, the one we're meant to be listening to. Do you get what I'm saying? We are helpless, really. That's why we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because we will be led astray if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to talk to you about what stops us from hearing. Because if we've already established that God is always speaking and we're not always listening, then I want to talk to you about what stops us from hearing. Where are we? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, now listen to this. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Incline your ear to hear. Don't let it depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. So your ears and your eyes and your heart spiritually are connected. They're very closely connected. When we're self-seeking, it's in one ear and out the other. When I was a kid, I went to an Anglican school in Sydney. It was quite a good school. I was very blessed. My parents sent me to this school. But I used to go to, I don't know what it was, chapel, every Wednesday, I think it was from memory. And it was in one ear.